The following message is presented by Fellowship Bible Church from its weekly pulpit ministry. We offer an expositional study through entire books of the Bible, one verse, paragraph, or chapter at a time. We pray that you'll be blessed by listening in. Thanks for visiting. You might expect me to ask you to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 11, but don't do that. We'll go to another 11th chapter. It happens to be in Ecclesiastes again. You say, where's the Lord's table there? Well, it's a bit remote from Ecclesiastes 11. But I wanted to just carry on with this study. And there are a couple of connection points that I'll mention to what we're doing this evening. The Lord's table is a good time to reflect on things in your life and our life as an assembly. The Lord's table obviously is a time of we can say reflection, but also remembrance for what Christ did for us in dying on the cross of Calvary, as we just have sung about this evening. But Solomon gives us another thing to remember as well. And so I want to have us connect these thoughts together as we just think about our memory and what we're remembering and how that affects our lives with the Lord. You have several things to remember as a believer. We'll look at a couple tonight and think about the one with the Lord's table. The future days that are coming in your life, your Creator and your Savior at the table. Now, verse 7 of chapter 11 begins a new section in Ecclesiastes. We have finished speaking in verses 1 to 6 about, diligent labor and a good investment, a wise investment in ministry and in life, and taking action, even if the circumstances don't seem ideal, verses 3 and 4. Those thoughts surrounding that section of Scripture we had last Sunday evening. But now in verse 7, the text switches themes and thoughts to this. When Solomon says, truly the light is sweet and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. All that is coming is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. You might recall at this point that the Apostle Paul told us that if we judge ourselves, we would not be judged. And part of the Lord's table is doing that very judging work on ourselves, not on other people, but on ourselves. And so Solomon is reminding us that there are works that we will be accountable for in the end of our lives. Verse 1 of chapter 12. Remember, there's that word again, now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain. Actually, that translation is wrong. Let me read it the right way. While the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are darkened, and the clouds do return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the windows grow dim. When the doors are shut in the streets, and the sound of grinding is low. When one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of music are brought low. Also they are afraid of height and of terrors in the way. When the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden, and desire fails. For man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about in the streets. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. Now, some commentators put this under the heading of the brevity of life, Indeed, we know that life is brief. Compared to the 900 plus years of some of the patriarchs, our lives of 90 years are only 10% of that length, which makes us virtually chronological midgets compared to them, doesn't it? And compared to the eternal life that was initially the portion of Adam and Eve in the garden, had they obeyed God and been able to partake regularly of the tree of life, they would have lived on and on and on and on. And the eternal life that we will yet experience ourselves in the heavenly state, while that's true, and James chapter 4 does remind us that our lives are but a vapor, and Moses reminds us of the same in that 90th Psalm where he speaks about that matter. But Solomon would agree with that clearly. He would agree with the brevity of life theme. But to be precise, we should recognize that Solomon is saying something a bit different here than just about the brevity of life, the briefness of life. His point is about the big picture of life and how your life is lived in the main and then the ending portion of it. And particularly, he focuses on the difficulty of the ending portion of life. And so these verses then drive some key thoughts that we must take note of if we're to live our lives properly before God. We start in verse number 7 and recognize that there are some things in life that are pleasant and we should not hesitate to enjoy. Even though the world is very damaged, there are parts of the world which are running well, or that do on occasion run well. Your life, for instance, you can probably think about how it has been demarcated by times of great joy and things that you enjoy. Even now, things that you enjoy daily that are not suffering and persecution and difficulty and disease and all of that. When we say that a clock, when the battery runs out or the power is off, is right twice a day, so the broken world is sometimes right, even though it's not always right, you see. And so it is. At various times and for the various inhabitants of the world, things in this world are not all bad. We can say they are. Some of them are very good, in fact. The blessings that God gives to us, the things to enjoy, the simple things. Sometimes in life, we enjoyed a very nice meal last night that came from the kitchen and hands of my wife, and it was just very good. Another one of those meals where a little extra went in than maybe normally should have, but I said, hey, I'm enjoying this nice lasagna. Yeah, in the days of my youth, thank you very much. So, we can enjoy those good gifts and things in life. Now, he goes on in verse 8 and says, you know, now if somebody lives many years and rejoices in them all, we are taught to remember that, and that's one of the ideas of remembering here, remembering the days of darkness that are coming. He says, for they will be many as well. Now, just don't be pessimistic or don't be negative about this. Because, we tend to focus on, oh, the days of darkness will be many. But remember, the earlier part of the verse said, there are many years of goodness. So if you take the many years versus the many days, there are a lot of, you know, for many of us, there are a lot of decent years. Maybe you have some years at the end of your life that are not as pleasant and are more difficult. But that fraction of your life is not so overwhelming in many of our cases. Obviously, there are some who suffer greatly from the womb forward, and we really feel for those folks who have had that portion. But remember, there are many years of good in this case, if that's the case, and you rejoice in them all, yet let him remember that there are days of darkness coming. But don't take it negatively the whole way. The point again is to remember ahead of time. By remembering ahead of time these things that are coming, that will shape your life currently. You will do things, you will make choices, you will decide to pursue opportunities and different things that you would not otherwise do if you didn't think long term. you will choose to not do certain things that may damage your long-term prospects. Remember, you know, this is a kind of a dumb example, but if you smoke now, what's going to happen later? Oh, somebody can point out the counterexample, right? The guy that smokes and lives to be 100 years old. Counterexample, exception to the rule. You're not probably going to be that exception. But that's going to help you, the thinking ahead is going to help you to live your life properly before God in all of your days. And, of course, here at the table of the Lord, we remember not what's coming. It's kind of funny when you think about it. He's telling us to remember what hasn't happened yet. Remember your future. Think, this is the reality. Now also remember what happened in the past. Remember that the Lord Jesus died for you, and that should, you know, shape and influence your present life. So the remembrance of things coming and things past shape how we prioritize and put, you know, our lives together, how we live them. Now, it says in verse number 9, "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth." But listen, far from being a hedonistic philosophy where, you know, he just says flat out, look, rejoice and let your heart do whatever it wants to do. You know, that's what people say today. Just follow your heart. Look, your heart is desperately wicked. So it needs this corrective. But know that for all these, at the end of verse 9, God will bring you into judgment. That's the corrective that you need so you can follow those pursuits that you desire to do as long as they are within the boundaries that God has assigned for us to live. So we're to rejoice during our young time, pursue dreams and activities that we want to do, but we cannot have sin in the midst of that. We should remove, look at verse 10, remove sorrow and put away evil from your flesh. Boy, that just says it right there. That's a wonderful balance. If you desire the things of God in the big picture, then you follow those desires of your heart. You will do the things that are pleasing to God. If you put away evil from your flesh, if you put these things out of your heart. So that's a good balance that he's showing there. Not everything is all negative and, you know, bah humbug kind of thing in our Christian life. But notice that there are some things that are worthy of God's judgment. Verse 10, remove sorrow or vexation of spirit. Remove vexation, anxiety, depression, distress from your heart. Inasmuch as it is in your power, do not allow that negative emotion to reside in your heart. Take it out. Remove it. Of all people, my friends, we should be the most joyful. We should have a smile on our face, literally, and in our hearts, figuratively, because we have the greatest gift. We have a relationship with God. We know Christ. We have blessings and the blessings of revelation and fellow believers and the church and all kinds of things. Remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. I believe he's saying that these things, this, you know, continual negative sorrow in your heart and evil in your flesh, this is childish, it's youthful, it's vain. It should not be there. Now, he says in verse number 1 of chapter 12, I think it continues on, although some have made a division here between the chapters in their division of the book. But he goes on, keeps on with this remember idea, the youth idea, the elderly age idea, and so on. Remember now the Creator in the days of your youth. What are the days of your youth? I guess we hope that youth is getting older and older, so that if we're 50 or 60, we could still say we're somewhere near there. You know, things maybe start to go south, as we say, after that. No offense to those of you that have attained to that wonderful time of life. I want you to notice, too, that this is expressing reality, but notice how beautifully God does it. This poem that is used here is first rate. I mean, it's the best, the most beautiful poetry to express what old age is about and the troubles that accompany elderly folks. And so he dignifies life this way in old age. I hope you're not one to, you know, to throw out the old age people and their wisdom and practice and holiness and understanding. I know some churches have basically done that and basically said, look, forget those people. We got to move on. And it's amazing to me. I literally saw an article. Praise the Lord for churches where the old people in the church allow the young people to have their way, kind of, and are mature about it. You know, in other words, change all the music and change the style of the church and everything. But kind of the idea is if the older folks aren't really willing to get with the program, I say, what about the young people? When are we going to expect from them to be a little more mature and not demand all of their, you know, so-called rights and privileges? But in any case, I'm getting off topic here. You can tell something bothers me about that. So we must remember God in our youth, our Creator. So we are remembering the future. We are remembering our Creator. We're also tonight remembering our Savior before the difficult and dark days come. The darkness of the days is described in the next verses, starting in verse number, end of verse 1 and then on down through verse number 5 until we get to the point of death in verse number 6. What we're doing here is describing the onset of old age using a couple of figures. One is the figure of bad weather in verse number 2. There's the sun and the light, the moon and the stars. And if you have a New King James, it says, it is not darkened. I mentioned this already. And the clouds do not return. That is a wrong translation. If I could just kind of erase the New King James history there and fix it, I'd love to do that and give everybody a more accurate translation. There is a Hebrew idiom there, ad asher lo, which is used in 12:1 and 12:6 as well as here, which means before. And so before they return, before they're darkened, and the idea of it is this. In old age, problems come like a storm. They roll in. You know, we call it dark cloud, rain. A dark cloud rolls in and you have some problem that dark cloud represents, some health problem, we'll say. And in younger days, when a health problem like that comes, it goes away and you recover and everything's fine. In older age, you get a health problem and then you get another health problem and the dark cloud rolls off and another one just comes right after it. You get the picture? So the sun and the clouds are darkened. Clouds do return after the rain. So you have a continual sequence of bad things that happen, and you've experienced this probably. When an elderly friend or church member or family member goes into the hospital and then they've come home and then they visit the hospital and then they go to rehab and then they come home and then they go to the hospital and this happens all within the space of a few months. What happens next? The funeral. They're going downhill and the clouds are returning one after the other after the other. It's a difficult situation that we have because of the curse. Then it says, it describes the effects of old age given the figure of a house. The keepers of the house tremble. The strong men bow down. The grinders cease because they are few. What is he talking about? I think he's talking about the arms, the legs, and the teeth here of the person. Those that look through the windows grow dim. Who could miss that? The eyesight grows a little bit dim, doesn't it? The doors are shut in the streets. The sound of grinding is low. I think it's the going in and coming, going out and coming in. You're not as mobile. The sound of grind, the activities, sounds of activities out there in the street and in the world is gone down. Older folks sometimes express the trouble with sleeping. They rise up at the sound of a bird, very early in the morning. Can't sleep like they used to. The daughters of music are brought low. Perhaps the ability to sing is affected by older age. We are afraid of heights and terrors in the way. Verse 5 says, the almond tree blossoms, the white hair comes. The grasshopper is a burden and desire fails. Desire is variously interpreted, but I think it just refers in general to the kind of desire for life in its in all departments. The desire for food doesn't taste like it did before. The desire for just going out and doing things and that sort of thing. For man goes to his eternal home and the mourners go about in the streets. These are words that speak about our end. After the description of the body in old age, then Solomon reiterates, remember your Creator, before the silver cord is loosed. He gives some figures here of death. A silver cord being broken, a golden bowl being smashed, a pitcher shattered into pieces, and the wheel broken at the well. The wheel, you know, if you had a well and you had to crank up the rope with the bucket at the bottom, you know, the wheel is broken. What good is that? It's not working properly. And that's what happens when we die. Then dust will return to the earth as it was. So the point is to remember God before death comes. This is the end of the cycle of vanity. Verse number 8. So we come to the end of that section. I plan to go over this again a little bit more another time. But just think about your life. Think about how you remember your Creator now in the days of your youth. How are you remembering the difficult days that will come? How are you remembering your Savior? Are you living in this way in light of these things, or have you gone off astray? May God help us to replace the sinful things in our hearts, like He talked about sorrow and evil, and an unexamined life that doesn't think about these things. God help us to put those away and put on virtues like joy and righteousness, gratefulness. Thank God for the delightful things that He has provided us with. And really, the Lord's table is a delightful thing that we can participate in. If you think about it, we're healthy enough to be here. We have enough sense in our minds to know that this is a commemoration. It's an ordinance which does not save us. We know that. But it does mark us by our participation to say that we are those who belong to Christ, and we're proclaiming His death until He comes. This is a great thing that we can enjoy. It's remembering our great Lord, and it's great to do so. He is our Savior, and we're proclaiming our allegiance to Him. And remember, He is our Creator, isn't He? And remember that in the days of your youth. I'll encourage you all by saying you're all in some measure in your days of youth still, because you're able to get out and about and be here and worship together. And that's a wonderful thing. And we can thank God for that. Let me do that just now. Lord, we approach now the sharing of the elements of the table. We don't want to cheapen those or treat them as just a tack on to the end of a regular church service, as it were, but to focus our thoughts upon what our Christ has done for us, to remember how He made us, how He remade us by salvation, and how He will be with us through the end of our earthly sojourn. We pray for Your help to live a remembering kind of life, looking forward and looking back, and shaping our decisions and priorities, values, activities, by those truths that we have touched upon this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.